water, and that's a natural polishing. Then the stone gets smooth and glassy. Instead of using a buffing device that will bruise the stone, we use a tumbling process of water rolling. So your skin is like that, and you eat. We're putting in minerals that are in crude forms and in their distorted geometry. And they're going to start pushing out other minerals that are in there that have been out of sync too long and clogged up. So internal polishing is going on by going back to eating on time.
You want the shorter one, Donald, the one with the cymatic?
Yes, I might.
Okay, it's the small one.
Yes.
The other one, I don't know if you want
to play. That one's tomorrow night.
Okay, so we'll keep it here.
Unless they got more time tonight.
Okay, tomorrow night is for everybody. We had not scheduled anything. Now, what's happening is that we'll be at Becky's house and we'll be on.
Including Doctor of Medicine, Doctor of Osteopathy, as well as PhDs from both Oxford and Heidelberg University. He has researched and worked with Dr. Hans Jenny of Basel, Switzerland, Professor Gaveau of the Sorbonne in Paris, France, Dr. Brunner of Heidelberg, Germany, and George Delaware at the Delaware Laboratories in Oxford, England. Since 1961, Dr. Manners has been applying his knowledge of the effects of sound for healing into the development of cymatics, which is now internationally known and used in various parts of the globe. His Brett Fortin Hall Clinic in Worcestershire, England, specializes in the use of cymatic therapy, the direct application of sound on the body for healing. Dr. Manners, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Johnson. It's very nice to be back here, too.
Well, I wonder if you could tell us, what exactly is cymatics? That is it a new form of therapy, or is it something that is very ancient, very old? What can you tell us about it?
Well, basically, it is not something which is new. It has been researched over a long period of time. A lot of research has gone into the work, and it has been in use for approximately 20 years in our clinic in Worcestershire. But over and above that, you ask, is it very old? Yes, it is very old. The concept of sound or music or any of these type of things is as old practically as man himself. Mm-hmm. But in cymatic therapy, we have adapted it into the modern idiom, and now it is used in a technological way, which is scientifically approved, medically acceptable, and is in use in many clinics throughout the world.
Is there some sort of history of the use of sound or music being used in ancient civilizations? I've heard that stories of this type of...
Oh yes, many of them. We have worked in the research field, and in order to work in the research field you have to go backwards as well as forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we've traveled into many countries examining the techniques anywhere where there's been any suggestion that sound of any type was used. We found great evidence of that amongst the American Indians, where they used sound and vibration to heal the sick, in Greece, in Egypt, in China, in Mexico, in Brazil, in practically all the countries it has been used. Also in biblical times, of course, music and the formation of sound into a music form was used with very great success, and you'll find great evidence of this in your Bible.
Mm-hmm. In the Bible, how so?
There are many references to calming the savage beast with music, and also we all remember the story of King Saul and the harpist that he always had to relieve his tension, his stress, and his strain.
Young David, I believe it was.
Precisely.
Yes, indeed. Pythagoras, we know as the father of geometry, was also involved in this work. Is that true?
Yes, that's perfectly true. But also the temples of Delphi. We have discovered comparatively recently that music and sound was one of the concepts of their healing technique. A lot of the stories which have been written concerning the temples of Delphi are not wholly correct. And we found that the pulsation of beating notes and music was one of the therapies which they used.
Fascinating, fascinating. Now, is cymatic therapy, what is it though? Is it sound? Is it music? Is it something you play from a tape recorder?
Well, of course, when you refer to sound, everyone sort of associates it with something that you listen to. With cymatics, this is not precisely so. It is literally the transplanting or the transmutation of accepted frequencies of sound into the tissue and structure of the human being. All the areas of the body, all the organs of the body produce a harmonic, a sound. This sound is very small and very minute. This again is not a new concept, not a new theory, but it is only in comparatively recent years that technology has caught up with the concepts and the ideas of this, and we've been able to reproduce these frequencies and sounds. And now we can reproduce them, create them artificially, and transfer them back into the tissue and the structure. A lot of our doctors are referring it to transplant, because technically, I suppose, this is what we are doing. We are transplanting the corrected frequencies back into the structure to replace any abnormalities that exist there. Mm. Also, of course, one of the strongest points which we advocate is that we can use this in place of drugs and medicine. And if we can replace medicine with treatment, we find this is much better. It takes a little more time, and you have to have a little more attention from your individual practitioner or your doctor. But then that is one of the things which we are trying to push forward at the present moment, that the medical profession treats every individual as a holistic being rather than a condition.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that there are different frequencies for different parts of the body, and that with cymatic therapy, you would somehow inject or put in the correct frequency that is needed for that part of the body. Is that correct?
That's correct. You see, every part of the body possesses a harmonic, whether it's a harmonic of the heart, the lungs, the liver, the kidney, muscles, bones, nerves, whatever it is, it produces a harmonic. This harmonic is now tabulated, we know what they are, and we can reform these artificially on a computer. Mm-hmm. Then it can be played back into the structure and the system. It is pleasant, it is easy, it is comfortable, there's no side effects. There are literally no conditions where it cannot be used, except if the patient has a heart pacer, but then that applies to all techniques of treatment if the patient has a heart problem there. But other than that, there are no conditions that can't be treated. Even in pregnancy cases, we've treated them right up to the time of delivery.
Mm-hmm. Now, cymatics, what does the word mean?
Well, in its early stages, which was now over 20 years ago, it was called sonic medicine or sonic therapy. But the general public got this confused with ultrasonics, which is quite understandable. So therefore we changed the name to cymatics. Cymatics is a Greek word meaning pressure or waves. While we are using pressure waves combined with the sound, so it's perfectly technically correct. Also, it pays tribute to one of the doctors whose groundwork formulated this concept and this therapy, and this was Dr. Hans Jeannet of Bâle in Switzerland, and he called his form of research cymatics, cymatic research. He did invaluable work. But what we have done is to bring the research of various physicists and doctors and scientists together, the list that you've already quoted, bring those together, and out of that we have evolved a technique of treatment which is now internationally known and is used right throughout the world.
Dr. Jeannet's work has been published in a couple of books.
That's correct. There are two books which are beautifully illustrated and shows the formation of shapes and forms that can be created by various frequencies of sound. He lectured very, very little. He objected to standing on a platform and lecturing, but he did make records of all his work. He made film of it. He took photographs of it. The books were illustrated from it. And just before he died, he passed all his research over to us so that we could amalgamate it and fit it with other concepts of therapy. There's one doctor which we have left out in your list, and he was very, very important, and that's Dr. Harold Saxon Burr. Without the concepts that he formulated, we shouldn't be in the position we are today. It's only thanks to these people who have laid the foundations on which we can construct this therapy that we owe so very much to.
Dr. Saxon Burr was associated with Yale University?
He was at Yale University,
and
yes.
His main work involved?
His main work was being able to discover that you can measure the frequencies of radiation outside of the body. When he first postulated this theory, I mean, it was mistrusted. I mean, at that day and time, I mean, very little was known about it, and no one quite went along with what he was saying. Fortunately, before he left this planet, he was able to come back to Yale University, and I think the expression is his picture was turned away from facing the wall, and there's now a picture on the wall again, because he was a very famous and a very talented man, and the work that he did was absolutely invaluable in the fields of research. And we find that now we're moving more and more into this field of research, that more and more of the technical truths which he wrote up and experimented with are of invaluable use to us.
What are your basic principles of using sound or cymatic therapy as a healing tool?
In the first and early days of this, we kept it locked into the use of muscular diseases, bone diseases, joint deformities, rheumatism, arthritis, fibrositis. Now, we kept it into these various diseases for several purposes. The main one was to accumulate as much information and knowledge and case histories as we possibly could to validate our concept and our theory. But also there was other things coming to the concept, and that was it was very easy to treat because you treated the surface of the body. But as it has gone along over the past 20 years, we have found now that we can treat all parts of the body, and including the internal organs. And year by year, we are having reports fed back to us from various doctors and clinics that are using the instrumentation that are feeding back new results, and new points are coming to light.
Perhaps you could enlighten us a bit more about how exactly you could use a sound or a tone to counteract a disease or something that is not balanced properly in the body.
Well, if every organ and every part of human anatomy gives off a signal, providing all those signals are in line with the general harmonic of the whole body, then you are in good health. But if for any reason, irrespective of what it is, if for any reason any of those frequencies fall out of alignment, then you are diseased or out of harmony, disharmonic. Also, another thing which is very important is that this simplifies to a large extent the method of administering treatment or administering medicine. You see, a lot of these instruments are now being developed for third world countries. Now, we can't hope to train third world people directly into medicine over a short space of time. And if we don't do something quickly, I mean, many people are going to be in dire pain and straits of which no help is done, because, I mean, there are far too few medical practitioners to be able to deal with the amount of people that need help and treatment. Therefore, the effect of diagnosing a condition is not so vitally important. If you're dealing with it medically, a diagnosis is vitally important, because otherwise you'd administer the wrong medication. But if you're dealing with some internal organ that is out of alignment and you're assessing it by its vibrational force field, then providing you can correct, or there's some method or some technique that can correct this vibrationary force field, irrespective of the condition which is causing it, you're on the right track. Mm-hmm. So therefore, many people can be helped merely by injecting the frequency back into the structure. And what also you've got to remember is that the frequency you're injecting is the natural frequency. You're working hand in hand with nature. You're not doing anything contrary to nature, because the adverse condition is contrary to nature. So therefore, if you're putting in the corrected frequency and signal, the human structure is very keen to get back into alignment. This is one of the principal problems that have been in the organ transplant in surgery. It is the harmonic concept. Everything is taken into consideration when a transplant is done, whether it's by kidney transplant or heart transplant. Everything is taken into consideration. But up until a short while ago, we gave no consideration to the harmonic. And therefore, if the harmonic of that transplanted heart is not in line with the harmonics of the rest of that system, we use the term the body rejects the transplant. This is merely what it means. It rejects it because the harmonic evaluation of that heart will not fit in with the rest of the harmonics of the system in the body.
Hmm. So in other words, in order to utilize a sound or a series of harmonics as a healing tool, what you would do is you would inject this into the body, and that which was diseased or vibrating out of harmony or ease with the rest of the body would somehow resonate back to its proper frequency.
Back to its proper frequency. But one thing we've got to be careful in this, you use the word inject. Now, if we use the word inject, a lot of people think we're going to stick a needle into them and inject something. We transmit it into the system. So the system is easy, there is no breaking of skin or surface, no needles are used. It is an application which is applied to the surface of the body. And if you apply sound in the audible range to the surface of the body, it will transmit itself right straight through the body and out the other side. Now, if there's nothing organically incorrect in the area through which that travels, it will travel straight through and be rejected on the far side. No harm will be done, no damage will be done. Mm-hmm. But if there's any abnormality in the frequency of the area that you're projecting the frequency field to, then it will rectify that as it passes through. And merely by simply placing the hand on the far side to which the applicator is applied, you can tell whether the condition is advanced, or whether it's very bad, or whether it's very slight. Mm-hmm. Because if the frequency signal travels through very quickly, there is very little wrong in that area. Mm-hmm. But if it takes some seconds or a minute before it travels through, then you know it's meeting obstacles on its passage through the structure.
Mm-hmm. What sort of cases have you worked with?
Well, we've dealt actually, over that period of time, with many thousands of cases. The early work in the early days was muscular rheumatism, arthritis, fibrositis, and the point was to treat these people. Now, in advanced cases, we particularly chose advanced cases in some cases to see how long or how much improvement we could get, where medically speaking, we said it was incurable and gone too far. In some of these cases, the patients had had rheumatic disorders or arthritic disorders for a period of 30 years. Mm-hmm. They were elderly people. In many of these cases, we were able to stabilize the condition and prevent further deterioration. But in lots of cases, we got improvement, and if we got cases early enough, then we got a cure. But since then, many, many cases have been dealt with which have no sort of relationship to the cases we started off with. I mean, we've treated heart conditions, lung conditions, bronchial conditions, intestinal troubles. Most of these conditions now can all be treated by this technique and this method.
You have some slides that you're going to show us, which may tell us a little bit about the effects of sound on some of the inorganic matter.
Well, that is correct, because a lot of these slides were originally done by Dr. Hans Jenny, showing the effect on substance and liquids and fluids of particular sound frequencies. Now, although they have no medical validity at this particular point in time, because we've moved on further to that, they are interesting in as much as you can see the effect. And I think it's always more convincing if you can see rather than just to hear what someone's talking about. So therefore, if you look at the film, if you look at these slides, you will see how the intricate patterns which we can formulate in substance can be changed merely by altering the frequency fields.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at some of these now.
We're going to show you now a few slides to give you some idea, because I think if you get a visual interpretation of what we have been discussing, you get a better impression of exactly what we're doing, where we can go, what we can create, and what we can form. It is scientifically correct to say that shape and form owe their shape and form solely to sound. And by these slides, we are able to show you how that shape and form can be held and repeated as many times as we wish, merely by the use of sound. Here we show one single drop of water placed on a plate to which the frequency field has been attached. By this means, we've been able to make it visual for you to see the geometric forms that can be formed when the cymatic frequency is filled into the structure. Here we have just one single drop of water vibrating at a low frequency. The low frequency gives the illusion that it is almost solid or semi-solid. It is not, it is just clear tap water and nothing more. Now if we change that frequency, we can change the form and the shape. This is again the same drop of water as in the previous picture, but the frequency field has changed. We have changed it, and so long as that frequency exists, this shape and form will maintain its hold. It will act in this particular way every time this frequency is placed into the plate, which is the dark area around the outside. If we change the frequency back, we can reverse it back to the previous one. But each time we change, so the frequency modulates the single drop of water that's showing on the plate. Here again, we have the same metal plate and the same drop of water. We haven't changed the water in any way, exactly the same water, but again, we have changed the frequency field. Within this, we are using single frequencies and not the multiple frequencies of the cymatic instrument. But as the frequency goes higher, you will notice that the design within it becomes a little more ethereal. In other words, we are seeing more spaces between. But even so, the spaces are still contained water. Again, same plate, same water. But again, the frequency has changed, and we're becoming a little more ethereal again. It's gradually tightening up onto these areas and sparsing out in these areas, making the design a little more ethereal, looking less solid, in other words. Now, if the frequency field was changed back, we could recreate any one of these back in line or move them up in line. We can recreate this time and time again and make the same patterns over and over again. Now, here we have a complete change both of the material that we're using and also the frequency field that's being fed in. This was our first realization that we could, apart from making a flat diagrammatic form on the plate, we could evolve it into a three-dimensional figure or form. What we are feeding into here is five frequencies into the plate, which causes this malleable plastic to lift up, to formulate into this form and shape, and fold itself into the center groove along the top. It's in constant movement, but keeping the constant form and shape. This was the first realization that the cymatic concept and the cymatic principle could formulate a design and a pattern which was in similarity aligned to the formation structures within the human body. Here we have a picture of cellular development showing exactly how the cell structure forms and how this interrelating form folds into this center crevice. It is a moving mass the whole time, moving in constantly, enfolding within itself. Here we have something which is just plastic. It's pliable plastic, but we're feeding a field into it which will create the same movement and basically the same form of the structure as the natural one that preceded it. Here again we have another picture of a cell development dividing into the four concepts and the outer rim around the outside. Again, in a constant state of enfoldment, one side from the outer moving into the inner from all four sides in a constant state. If this was on a moving picture, it would look like a living amoeba pulsing and moving. We have another picture which is very similar in appearance to the last one that we showed you, but this one is again plastic, being formulated into this shape and form by a cymatic frequency. Except that here we have, if you notice, there are five areas within it instead of four. But the same action is taking place, an enfolding movement from the outer rim to the inner points, from the outer rim to the inner points. In other words, like a living, evolving mass. But it owes its life wholly and solely to the vibration or the frequency field that's being fed into it and nothing else. Here we have a very highly magnified picture of the forefinger of a newborn child showing the sort of cell development that is in on the skin surface. This is lycopodium dust vibrating at a similar frequency, formulating itself up into again the small center points, almost a replica of the cell formation of the child's fingers. Now, as you can see by the slides that you have seen, we can reproduce the most fantastic shapes, forms. We can almost duplicate parts of the human anatomy and structure merely by putting the correct frequency into place and utilizing it. These things can be reproduced as many times as we want. Again and again, we can reproduce them and watch them almost like living shapes, living forms, living amoeba. But they owe their life wholly and solely to sound. And perhaps we do too.
Very, very interesting, Peter. Some of the slides are quite astounding, especially the ones that we saw where the sound formation was almost exactly a duplicate of the cellular formation. There's also a film that you have made with Dr. Hans Jenny on this material. Is it not true?
That's correct. I think if you see the actual film on it, it gives you a better concept and a better idea of how these shapes and forms can move. In some parts of the film, it looks almost as if it's a living, moving amoeba that's existing there. But all of it owes its life wholly, solely, and simply to sound. You stop the sound and everything stops. You turn on the sound and everything becomes alive. It looks like living shape and form.
Wasn't there something in the Bible? In the beginning was the Word. Like the word meaning sound or something like that?
Oh, yes, we love to use that one. In that room was the Word, and the Word was God. I read this many times as a child and didn't make much sense to me. I quite admit it was interesting, but it didn't have much sense. But what we didn't realize, and we didn't realize until comparatively recently, is that within this we have a scientific formula. So if we turn it into the modern idiom, into the great voids of space, sound caused matter to take shape, because it's basically what it does. You can take any matter, what you like, whether it's a liquid, whether it's oil, whether it's dust, whether it's sand, whatever it is, and you can form it into the most intricate and fascinating designs and patterns and shapes and forms. But you see, most of this work, the basic work, we have followed it up, it's true, was done by Dr. Hans Jenny. But this, medically speaking, was not what we wanted. What we needed was a harmonic that would form the, not into a flat shape. You see, most of these are flat shapes on the plate. We wanted something that would form into a three-dimensional form and shape, something that would defy gravity, if you like, in which we had injected levitation. Well, when I first went into the laboratory and asked my technician if he could formulate some way in which we could create levitation, he thought I'd gone start raving mad. And he said, well, that's impossible. But anyhow, from single frequencies, we tried two frequencies, three frequencies, four frequencies, and the patterns become more intriguing, they became different, they become, if I may dare use this word, they become almost ethereal, because they become very fine and delicate. But it still wasn't what we were after. And we were almost at the point of giving up, and we said, well, we'll try one more, we'll try five. And when we tried five frequencies, oh, we nearly jumped up in the air, because it actually happened. The stuff that we had on the plate literally blew off the plate. So what we did then was to put a plastic, which we thought we could bind and hold together, and we put this plastic on the plate, and sure enough, it formed itself up into a form defying the pull of gravity and started to form up into a holistic form and shape, three-dimensional. This is what we needed, this is what we wanted, because this is the basic sort of formulative structure of shape and form in the human body. So we were really onto something there.
In a way, then the sound creates the form.
The sound will create the form and will hold it for just as long as you want it to hold. But if you change that frequency, then it will, if you want to use a word, you will have mutation. Mm-hmm. You will change the shape. So therefore it is again correct to say, scientific fact, that as the sound, so the shape and the form. So there basically we conclude from that the human body in the form in which we see it is held in that formulated pattern and structure wholly and solely by the sound it contains and makes.
Mm-hmm. Peter, could you tell us a little bit about the use of cymatic therapy in hospitals and other clinical settings? Is it being used in hospitals today?
Oh yes, most certainly. Mostly into the smaller consulting rooms. It seems to be more an individual thing rather than a collective thing in some of the large hospitals. But in the smaller establishments, in consulting rooms and clinics, it's proved absolutely invaluable. So many of the conditions, especially simple things like, simple to the practitioner, but difficult to the person who's receiving it, and that is slip disc, which can be horribly painful, can keep people away from their work or their offices or their employment for sometimes weeks on end. There's very little that could be done about it except tell them to rest, and that's about it, and give them a pain killer. Well, now with the aid of cymatics, all this can change. We can alter all this. With the application of cymatic therapy for approximately 10 to 15 minutes, the pain will ease down considerably. And invariably, when the tension is moved out of the surrounding area and tissue, very often, without manipulation, it will slip back in place. But even if a manipulation has to take place, it can be done easily and simply. Therefore, the older technique of osteopathic manipulation, which has been the arguing point between the medical profession and the osteopaths, especially in the UK for so long, is now overcome. No longer do we have to what we term a cold manipulation, in other words, force it back into position, because once you've used cymatic on, the whole area relaxes, eases, and it will be comfortably back in position. Now, there are many other things that we can ease and relieve pain without the administering of drugs and painkillers. It has been found and checked by specialists in London who are using this instrument that the endorphins, which are the secretion from the brain which ease off pain, it's like nature's painkiller, is activated by the transmission of frequencies into the structure. We have used this in hospitals where patients have been injured in mining disasters where the roof has crashed in. Now we all know medically there's very little we can do from this or except to clean it up, make them comfortable, and to give them a painkiller if necessary, and just hope that time will heal it. Well, now we can do much more than that, because for applying this frequency above the damaged area, we can deaden down to a large extent the pain, and there is no side effects as if we have given drugs to administer it.
Have you tried this in the situations of cancer, for instance?
Well, now, cancer is something which unless you are an MD, you are not allowed to treat. We would remember that these instruments are in the hands of osteopaths, chiropractors, nurses, nurse consultants, all these kind of people who are efficient practitioners within their own rights. And they are using these instruments. Now, with this instrument, They are not breaking the law in any way, shape, or form, because we do not deal with cancer to obliterate it. We do not attempt to disintegrate the cancer. We treat the organ to which it is being troublesome. In other words, if it's a lung cancer, we treat the lung. We strengthen and fortify the lung and let the cancer take care of itself. And invariably, this does happen.
Dr. Manners, I know you brought your cymatic instrument here from England. Do you think you can show us how it works?
Yes, we can do that. That presents no problem now. In its early stages, of course, it was a vast instrument, which was very clumsy, very difficult, and couldn't be moved. Now it is transportable. It's no larger than a large attaché case, and we can utilize it in homes, or hospitals, clinics, nursing homes, consulting rooms. It can be carried by the practitioner or the doctor wherever you would like to use it.
Splendid, splendid. We have Priscilla King, a nurse consultant here, who has volunteered to act as a patient in this situation. I guess she'll take a little time off from her nursing as nursing patients to help and act as a patient. So why don't we bring Priscilla up here, and she will be happy to let you work on her with your cymatic instrument.
But at this point, we must add that we shall only be able to use the applicator unit for this form of treatment. There is another form of treatment which is applied from the same instrument, which has become known as biosomatics. Now, biosomatics is using silent sound. There is no sound whatsoever. You're using the basic energy out of the sound, but in order to use this, you need the patient definitely in the clinic, because a saline solution and pads have to be used for its application. If I might explain how this functions, if a patient has, normal mobility in arms and legs, very often if they hear music or a beat in music, they will beat in time with it, either with a hand or with a foot. It's a very common occurrence. It's a very complicated thing if you run through all the procedures of it, but it's quite easy to do. But if there is paralysis or anything of that type within either the arm or the leg, the limb will not do it. Now, it won't do it because the left hemisphere of the brain is closed down on the synapse and it can't actually function it. But all the muscles may be correct, the nerves may be all right, joints, bones, everything is in order, but the synapse of the brain doesn't function the limb. Now, if we reverse the process of the cymatic input and put the input in through the hand and the arm, we can then re-establish a movement in that arm, and we can get the arm to beat in a normal, natural way. But that's not the end of the story. We can do that, and we've been able to do this for quite a number of years, with exercise of the muscles, and it's very good, and it's quite interesting to the patient to be able to see a paralyzed arm moving and beating time. But that is not basically what we want. What we want is the synapse within the brain to start to activate this movement. Now, previously, it was extremely difficult to, shall we say, go into another dimension of healing with the ordinary medical profession, but of course we're in more enlightened times now and we can do this. So what we tell the patient is to close their eyes, to visualize on the paralyzed limb, see it in their mind or their mind's eye, and then as the impulse travels into the limb, to mentally lift at the same time. If they do this, then the synapse will start to function and we can get movement back into the tissue and the structure again.
Sorry, we won't be able to see that aspect of the instrument being utilized, but I'm sure we will have an extraordinary experience watching this.
The instrument is so designed to make it as simple for operation as we possibly can. On this side of the instrument is a sonic computer which will formulate the basic frequencies that you require for treatment. This can be then locked into the mind of it, transferred and recorded to a magnetic tape, and it is then ready when you plug in your applicator on this side to apply to the patient. And the way we apply it to the patient is merely to switch it on and turn up the amount of output on the applicator. The applicator is then applied to the patient, but before it is applied to the patient, it's always advisable, remember, we're interested in holistic medicine, and the patient is an individual, not a case. The patient is very often apprehensive, tense, perhaps tired, and in pain. And we firmly believe that an application of your hand over the area first, before any treatment is given, has a soothing effect, beneficial effect, and the patient feels more confident. Then apply the frequency field. Now the frequency field that you're applying, immediately it is applied, the patient will relax automatically. As you're coming to the patient, they're a little apprehensive. Once it is applied, they're perfectly content, easy, and relaxed. Because the frequency you're filling in is entirely in relation to the natural frequency there. You are using a natural frequency. There is nothing injurious, nothing harmful, nothing will do any harm at all. In this particular case, our nurse here hasn't any serious problems, but had she had serious problems and this joint was unmovable, a small application around the joint structure would ease down the tension, and after a few manipulations by the applicator, you would be able to gently thousands of times. And therefore, all that is necessary is to apply it over the area for ease, comfort, and relaxation. If they have come in and complained to you that there is pain in that shoulder and it's possibly rheumatism, they've not told you anything else perhaps, and you are treating this, they will very often say, "Doctor, I can feel something happening down in my knee." Now the reason for this being that there's possibly a slight rheumatic condition in the knee joint, which they haven't necessarily told you about, but because the frequency field is traveling into the system, the whole system is consumed with it all the way around, and it will find any weakness anywhere in the body and deal with it as you're dealing with this area here. After you've done that for a little, if you are an osteopath or an orthopedic surgeon, then you can start to move. The area will move easily, it will relax. If you're going to move the arm joint, you'll find that you'll be able to move it easily and simply, and you will find the muscles will relax. How does that feel?
Very good. As you put that on me, I felt my whole body start to relax.
You can feel it across all around the body.
Yes.
That's right, yes, because it's transmitting into the whole of the structure of the body.
Now that you have got the somatic instrument pretty well developed, you've had it for a number of years now and have been using it successfully, what are you doing now in terms of new frontiers of using sound?
Oh, quite a lot, a considerable amount. The instrument itself is fully developed, it's scientifically acceptable, it's medically approved, and we now have these instruments literally all over the world in use, particularly in the third world countries where we're able to train people efficiently and quickly to use the instrument. But our research field at the present moment is stepping now into light therapy, which is becoming known as chromatology. It was always previously thought that the effect of colored lights, as they termed it, was a kind of gimmick, in which you sat under a pretty light and it was very comfortable and it was very nice and very warm and very relaxing. Well, I'm afraid all that is now completely changed. We do know that light penetration can penetrate through the pores of the skin. It can affect the bloodstream, it can affect internal organs, it can do a considerable amount. We advocated many years ago that a baby born with the bilirubin, which is yellow jaundice, should be treated instead of blood transfusions and drugs, should be treated under blue radiation. This was very suspect for a long, long time, until one doctor in the United States tried it, used it, found it successful, and now this technique of treating bilirubin is used all over the world now.
So you're working with color, what else?
We're working with color, but we're also working with the action of the brain. We find that if we use these frequency fields, we can affect the left and right hemisphere of the brain. And we feel that very often a condition which causes paralysis or a problem in the human anatomy and structure has its seat in the left side of the brain. If we could only stimulate the right to sort of assist, take over, or form a bridge between the two, we could overcome a lot of problems. Well, now with the advent of sound in a new dimension, we're able to do just this. And our research now is into using headphones which feed different frequencies into the structure and the system, also applied at the same time as light radiations and cymatic frequencies. We're able to activate all the cell tissues and nerve ganglia within the body, and we're getting very, very good results. And it won't be long before we are able to discuss this and explain these details to you.
Wonderful. I look forward to hearing about those at a further date. But if people are interested in trying to find out more about cymatic therapy, Peter, how do they reach you?
If they write to us, Dr. Manners, the Brett Fortin, B-R-E-T, F-O-R-T-O-N, Brett Fortin Hall, H-A-L-L, Clinic, Brett Fortin, Vale of Evesham, E-V-E-S-H-A-M, Vale of Evesham, Worcestershire, England. We will attempt to answer every letter if I possibly can personally.
And this is also how they would get a cymatic instrument or information on the cymatic instrument, of course.
We also train students at our clinic so that we can qualify them in the use of cymatic therapy.
And in the United States, those of you who would like to contact me regarding the various uses of sound and music for well-being, New England Sound Healers may be reached by writing 42 Baker Avenue, Lexington, Massachusetts, 02173. That's NESH, New England Sound Healers. We continue to work with Dr. Manners, and we are very, very grateful for having had him here tonight. We hope that the information which we've disseminated has been of use. We thank you, Dr. Manners.
Thank you, Johnson. I thoroughly enjoyed being here.
It's a pleasure here, too. Thank you.
What to see has no characters, it has no people. It is a film to describe to you and explain visually the effect of cymatic frequencies on texture, structure, water, oil. If you spare a little of your imagination as you watch this film as it runs, you will see many things that answer many questions. You will see living forms, living amoeba, almost animal-like creatures. You will see continents being formed, the earth itself coming into existence, explosions, eruptions, atomic explosions and bombs. You can see all this and watch it before your eyes. But everything owes its existence solely and completely to sound. Sound is the factor which holds it together. Sound is the basis of form and shape. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. We are told that this is how the world began and how creation took shape. If we put that into the modern idiom and say that into the great voids of space came a sound and matter took shape, please watch carefully.
We can also use different shapes of plate. Here we have a triangular plate with a crystal attached to its underside and produce a sonorous fit. We change to a higher note and see a rather more complicated figure. Likewise, on a steel plate, is also produced by vibration. The exciting crystal is attached to the upper corner of the plate. We use sand and lycopodium. The lycopodium moves to the center of the field and takes up circular shapes. The sand forms the lines. Each material has its own special way of behaving. Lycopodium alone, a sonorous figure, transition to a mobile flowing phase, and back again to the figure. The sonorous figures represent stationary waves. But now we can also observe moving waves. Here the sand is flowing in a current. When the wavelengths are short, these currents produce a rotary effect. Areas become defined in which the particles are actually rotating. We produce two notes with frequencies which are so related as to cause a beat. The note seems to throb, and by using the method we have chosen, this phenomenon of beat or interference can be rendered visible. The figure sways to and fro, the figure pulsates. Here is a sonorous figure shown in a fluid. There are some wave fields where there was nothing before. Where there was previously sand, now there is nothing to be seen. The dynamic phase has become the static phase. Wave field, which makes the vibratory process in the plate indirectly visible. Here again, interference can be demonstrated. All these wave fields pulsate. Interference becomes visible. Transparent fluid. Vibration now gives rise to curious eddy formations. It is always a pair of eddies that is created. One pair after another is generated so that we finish up with a whole series of such pairs of eddies in a symmetrical arrangement. Of these eddies by vibration is particularly significant because it is eddies of this kind which are specifically formed in the cochlea of our ears whenever we hear sounds. That is to say, they are not ordinary eddies as defined in rheology, but vibratory eddies, with the members of each pair turning in opposite directions. Substance is always shaped into a ball by the wave trains of the vibrating membrane. The masses are jiggled round, but gradually proper spherical shapes are formed, created by nothing more than the vibratory process. The human voice can also be made visible with a simple apparatus. The various vowels show typical characteristics depending on the nature of their sound. We can see the spectrum, as it were, of the sounds. Lycopodium powder, the spores of the club moth, reveals a number of quite remarkable phenomena when made to vibrate. Circular shapes appear, but these are in a state of continuous upheaval. The particles are pushed outwards from the center and inwards again from the outside, and at the same time they pulsate. The various patterns of the vibratory fields. They move to and fro, unite, and separate again according to the vibratory state of the surface formed by the membrane. And we can, as it were, move over a landscape which is in a state of vibration. If we intensify the note, If we produce a crescendo for the ear, the masses are hurled outwards. We see fountains, eruptions, explosions almost. But invariably, the particles return to the center. So that here again, even under these violently dynamic conditions, we find there is circulation. of the reduced adhesion, the particles of iron have certain degrees of freedom. They can move, fall into line, form figures, and almost dance, but only in obedience to the vibration imposed. Serpent-like formations are produced simply and solely by vibration over areas of the vibrating membrane representing movement processes. Materials and substances and the various states of aggregation behave in characteristic ways under the effect of vibration, or we can say that their behavior is specific. Here is a pulp. Here again, round shapes are formed and circulation is set in motion, but in the opposite direction to that observed with Lycopodium. There is a definite ripple effect caused by the wave trains in the vibrating membrane, a rich field of effects due to vibration. They join together, separate and pulsate. We intensify the vibration, equivalent to a crescendo for the ear, the masses are thrown into ever greater agitation. They are ejected. Spikes are thrust up. There are eruptions. Protuberances appear. And all due to the dynamics of vibration. A whole landscape opens before us. The note we hear is strong enough to originate all this turbulence, this impressive display. contrast is a sonorous figure, a static figure instead of a dynamic one, representing the opposite pole in the vast range of phenomena that make up the world of vibration.
How many frequencies?
Five.
Good. So.
Five breaths.
You have to go right back to the physics. So you're using the old agricultural terms, but then we come up with modern terminology. And there you know, the modern terminology is gas, temperature, liquid, we haven't learned anything new. And if you had listened to that sound emitting from that whole film, is different degrees of what? Boom. You didn't hear anything new, other than early man heard it within his skin to console him when he lie down flat on the ground. That was his first real exposure to the resonance, sleeping flat on the earth, because the sound of the sun is going on like that, in very subtle, microscopic. And what they've done is take a fiber microphone and amplify the sound to the audible range and put it out to show where it affects those crystals, so a three-dimensional logic. Now, the initiate is a person who is given the key to lock in. And we use a measuring device like an apple to give the indicator to what frequencies you infer are locking. All fibers be with you, they're in you, but you have to know which one to lock in, and that's what, one is not better than the other, it's just that that's the frequencies you're moving through. Now, the apple is a measuring device to tell you where you're locked in and how your voice is amplified to the atom so you can regulate it to work with it. But you're not here to show off with it. You're here to use it in case of emergency and to stabilize our lifestyle. It takes one revolution around the sun to establish that frequency. So, we said there are five ways that the apple breaks down. One, it turns moldy and powdery. Two, it may turn watery or mushy. Three, it may shrivel up hard, dry like a prune. And four, it may remain firm for at least 2 years without showing any breakdown. And then there's a fifth way where it doesn't break down at all and it expands about maybe half inch. And but judging from what I just got, this is a watery one. Yes, this is watery. It's leaking. Okay, well, you want to pull it. So we will give you the instructions in a few seconds how to use them. You want to establish this one is watery. Yeah, this is watery. Yeah, this is watery. Yeah, this is watery. Most of them are watery. Yeah. Here's one as well, Lisa. Yeah, these are, this is water. Nobody said this. Oh, this is a moldy, powdery type. So that's a little. That's the moldy type.
Moldy dry?
Okay. That's it. Now, here is how you use it. Each one is not better than the other. It's just that you fall on the different frequencies to work with. So, moldy and watery works like this. You want to write it down?
I have this written.
You have it written down? Okay. You want to? She'll give it to you, so you'll know how to lock the frequency of your atoms to your mouth. Remember, as you said, the sonics and the harmonics are there. The whole structure all the time. And the only discordance can come to throw it off. When Jesus said, it's not what you put in your mouth that this break you down, but comes out of your mouth. It breaks you down. Primarily it's the enzymic action of your own saliva that does that to you. When you say something in discord, it breaks you down because you have to swallow your enzymes in your saliva. You don't know that until you've gone through the process, and then you have to come back and face yourself, what you said. And kinesiology and many other methods can come along and validate one way to say something and another way to say it that would either contribute or break you down. So, how many years are you? Is that a valid way to read your age?
No.
Good, that'll break you down. But if you said how many revolutions around the sun you are, then that is valid because the kinesis will hold up and then your saliva wouldn't secrete the enzymic action to cause a breakdown. So that is a sonic resonance mark. We have one advantage in English over all other language, though the origin of sound seems to come from Sanskrit, meaning without script. Sans is the word without, and script means not written, but along the spinal column, there are certain integrated geometry that resonates to the songs in nature. And so that's where the 52 letters of Sanskrit alphabet originated from. They are in your spinal column. And then they broke off into obvious visual geometry. But if you will realize that all language in the world operate from a nasal or a guttural. English is the only one that pulls in between. That's why we come to the yes, no, maybe. And especially if you leave England, you come over to America, you don't talk with that British dog. Because, you know, that is phased out from between the two ranges to the more in central tone of the voice. We have this advantage here in this environment to use the sonics more dynamic. Intoning it in the chanting like most of groups do is valid. They're all trying to get back to that resonance, that harmonic that you heard in the whole entire picture going on. And so since you identify if you're a liquid frequency or a powdery frequency or a dried up, which means powdery means to eliminate, watery means to dissolve, and shrivel up means to strengthen. and holding its own for 2 years means to rebuild. And the fifth one, we call it master, but really it's the full integration of all forces into one. So that's what we call master, or living master. One who is integrated into the sun in all levels. So, but that doesn't say one person better than the other. You're working your way through all of them into your own internal growth process to identify. But you must know which one to start with, otherwise you will be following it up with yourself too. So once you understand what you're working with, you built up your structural language to talk and work with the environment to focus that you don't use words that drain the body. There's actually nobody doing it to you, you're doing it to yourself through the words you're using. But now that we have a visual presentation of what sound does do to substance, you can well imagine how intricate and intimate it is with your saliva to your own tissue. So for that reason, we have to be always aware not to suppress or maintain the animosity to nature around us, because we are the ones who suffer in the end, and that's where the ulcer and all the breakdown is. So it separates your whole behavior from living to die to living to live, and from what you are to and who you are. Who you are will never